There once was a great hero called Banasura. He was a great devotee of the enormously powerful Lord Shiva and was always ready to render service unto his Lord. Because of Banasura's devotion, he achieved a great position in society and was honored in every respect. He was very intelligent and liberal, and his activities are all praiseworthy because he never deviated from his promise and word of honor, and therefore he was recognized as being very truthful. In those days, he was ruling over the city of Sanatapura, and by the grace of Lord Shiva, Banasura had 1,000 arms and hands. He became so powerful that even the great demigods like King Indra were serving him like the most obedient servants. Lord Shiva is very easily pleased, and he is also very affectionate to his devotees. He is a great protector for persons who take shelter of him, and he is the master of all living entities in this material world. Being pleased with Banasura, he told Banasura that whatever
you desire, you can have from me, because I am very much pleased with you.
Once upon a time, Banasura came to offer his respects to Lord Shiva. By touching the lotus feet of Lord Shiva with his helmet, which was shining like the sun globe, he offered his respectful obeisances unto him. While offering his obeisances, Banasura told Lord Shiva, My dear Lord Shiva,
please do not think me unappreciative of your causeless mercy, but I just don't know what to do with these 1,000 arms you have given me. It appears that I can never utilize them properly in fighting. For you see, I cannot find anyone competent enough to fight with me, except your lordship, the original father of the material world. Oh, sometimes I feel such a great tendency to fight with these arms. So I go out and find a suitable warrior. But what happens? Everyone flees, knowing my extraordinary power. Oh, so frustrated. And being baffled at not finding a match, I simply try to satisfy the itching of these arms by beating them against a huge mountain. Boom! Boom! It's in this way that I tear many great mountains to pieces, but still remain unsatisfied. Oh.
Lord Shiva realized that his benediction had become troublesome for Banasura, and he addressed him.
You rascal, you are very eager to fight, but since you have no one to fight with, you are distressed. Although you think that there is no one in this world to oppose you except me, I say that you will eventually find such a competent person, and at that time, your days will come to an end. Your flag of victory will no longer fly. Then you will see your false prestige shot to pieces.
After hearing Lord Shiva's statement, Banasura became very puffed up with his power. He felt very elated and began to think to himself,
"Oh, my dear Lord Shiva, you have made me very happy. For I have waited so long to utilize the great strength you have given me. And now at last, I can rest assured of a proper match. Yes. At last, I will have the opportunity to utilize the great benediction of having 1,000 arms. The fight, this fight, win or lose, will be my greatest glory."
Now, Banasura had a very beautiful daughter, whose name was Usa. When she had attained the age of marriage and was sleeping amongst her many girlfriends in her palace, she dreamt one night of Aniruddha, the grandson of Lord Krishna. In her dream, Aniruddha was by her side, and she was enjoying a conjugal relationship with him. But in actual fact, she had never seen him nor heard of him before. She awoke from her dream exclaiming very loudly, My dear beloved,
where are you?
Being exposed to her other friends in this way, she became a little bit ashamed.
What have I done?
One of Usa's girlfriends was Chitraleka. Chitraleka was the daughter of Banasura's prime minister. Chitraleka and Usa were also intimate friends, and out of great curiosity, Chitraleka asked,
"My dear beautiful princess, as of yet you are not married to any young boy, nor have you seen any boys until now. So I'm surprised that you are saying things like, 'My dear beloved.' Who are you searching after? Who is your suitable match?"
"My dear friend, in my dream I saw a nice young man who was very, very beautiful. His complexion is swarthy, his eyes are just like lotus petals, and he is dressed in yellow garments. His arms are very long, and his general bodily features are so pleasing that any young girl would be attractive. I feel much pride in saying that this beautiful young man was kissing me, and I was very much enjoying the nectar of his kissing. But I'm sorry to inform you that just after this he disappeared, and I've been thrown into the whirlpool of disappointment. My dear friend, I'm very anxious to find this wonderful young man, the desired lord of my heart."
"Oh, I can understand your bereavement. And I assure you that if this boy is within these three worlds, upper, middle, or lower planetary systems, I will find him for your satisfaction. If you can just identify him from your dream,
oh, yes,
I shall bring you peace of mind. Now, let me draw some pictures for you to inspect, and as soon as you find the picture of your desired husband, let me know. It doesn't matter where he is."
"No?
No, I know the art of bringing him here. So as soon as you identify him, I shall immediately arrange for it."
Chitraleka, while talking, began to draw many pictures of the demigods inhabiting the higher planetary systems. Then pictures of the Gandharvas, Siddhas, Charanas, Panagas, Daityas, Vidyadharas, and Yakshas, as well as many human beings. Chitraleka had studied well the Srimad Bhagavatam and other Vedic literatures, which prove definitely that on each and every planet there are living entities of different varieties. Therefore, she was not so foolish as to assert that there are no living entities but those here on this earth. Chitraleka painted many pictures. Among those of the human beings was the Vrishni dynasty, including Vasudeva, the father of Krishna, Surasena, the grandfather of Krishna, Sri Balaramaji, Lord Krishna, and many others. When Usa saw the picture of Pradyumna, she became a little bashful. But when she saw the picture of Aniruddha, she became so bashful that she immediately lowered her head and smiled, having found the man she was seeking. She identified the picture to Chitraleka as that of the man who had stolen her heart. Besides being Usa's intimate friend, Chitraleka was also a great mystic yogini. And as soon as Usa identified the picture, although neither of them had seen or heard of him before, nor knew his name, Chitraleka could understand that the picture was that of Aniruddha, a grandson of Krishna. That very night, she traveled in outer space. She passed over villages, rolling hills, profuse jungles, rivers, and lakes. And within an amazingly short time, she reached the city of Dwarka, which was well protected by Krishna. She entered the palace and found Aniruddha sleeping in his bedroom on a very opulent bed. Chitraleka, by her mystic power, immediately brought Aniruddha in that sleeping condition to the city of Sanatapura so that Usa might see her desired husband. Usa immediately bloomed in happiness and began to enjoy the company of Aniruddha with great satisfaction. The palace in which Usa and Chitraleka lived was so well fortified that it was impossible for any male to either enter or see inside. Usa and Aniruddha lived together in the palace, and day after day, the love of Usa for Aniruddha grew four times upon four times. Usa pleased Aniruddha with her valuable dresses, flowers, garlands, scents, and incense. By his bedside sitting place were other paraphernalia for residential purposes. Nice drinks, such as milk and sherbet, and wonderful edibles, which could be chewed or swallowed. Above all, she pleased him with sweet words and very obliging service. Aniruddha was worshipped by Usa as though he were the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By her excellent service, Usa made Aniruddha forget all other things and was able to draw his attention and love upon her without deviation. In such an atmosphere of love and service, Aniruddha practically forgot himself and could not recall how many days he'd been away from his real home. In due course of time, Usa exhibited some symptoms of pregnancy, and it could be understood that she had been having intercourse with a male friend. After a while, the symptoms became so prominent that her actions could not be concealed from anyone. Usa was always cheerful in the association of Aniruddha, but she did not know the bounds of her satisfaction. The housekeeper and watchman of the palace could guess very easily that she was having relations with a male friend. And without waiting for further development, they approached
their master. My dear master, we have come to you with some rather grave news.
Grave news? Come, what can be grave? Out with it.
Well, you see, it concerns your daughter, Usa.
Usa? Usa? Tell me, is she all right?
Yes, she's all right, sir. It's just that...
Just that...
Well, you see, sir, she's been keeping company with a young man, and it appears that she's become pregnant.
Pregnant? I'll strangle you with every one of my thousand hands.
We do not like to speak such things, oh, master, but we only fear for your family name should the news get out.
Out of here, you're dismissed. Incompetent fools. My Usa, no longer a virgin maiden. Oh, my name will be ruined. Oh, Parasura, you're such a wretch. May the gods have mercy on me. Wait. Perhaps he's still in the palace.
Guards?
Without delay, he rushed towards the palace where Usa was living. There, he saw that Usa and Aniruddha were sitting together and talking.
Yes, my darling. I remember
that. Bhanusura saw that his daughter and Aniruddha were a suitable match. Yet, for family prestige, he did not like the combination at all.
There I was, flying through the air.
Bhanusura could not understand who the boy actually was. But he appreciated the fact that Usa could not have selected anyone in the three worlds more beautiful.
No, Mama. No, Mama.
Aniruddha's complexion was brilliant and swarthy. He was dressed in yellow garments and had eyes just like lotus petals. His arms were very long, and he had nice, curling, bluish hair. The glaring rays of his glittering earrings and the beautiful smile on his lips were certainly captivating. But still, Bhanusura was very angry. When Bhanusura saw him, Aniruddha was engaged in playing with Usa. Aniruddha was nicely dressed, and Usa had garlanded him with various beautiful flowers. The reddish kumkum powder put on the breasts of women was spotted here and there on the garland, indicating that Usa had embraced him. Bhanusura was struck with wonder that even in his presence, Aniruddha was peacefully sitting in front of Usa. Aniruddha knew, however, that his would-be father-in-law was not at all pleased, and that he had gathered many soldiers in the palace to attack him. Thus, not finding any other weapon, Aniruddha took hold of a big iron rod and stood before Bhanusura and his soldiers, he firmly took a posture indicating that if he were attacked, he would strike all the soldiers down to the ground with his iron rod. Banasura and his company of soldiers saw that the boy was standing before them just like the superintendent of death with his invincible rod. Now, under the order of Banasura, soldiers from all sides attempted to capture and arrest him. When they dared to come before him, Aniruddha struck them down with the rod, breaking their heads, legs, arms, and thighs, and one after another, they began to fall to the ground. He killed them just as the leader of a flock of hawks kills barking dogs, one after another. In this way, Aniruddha was able to escape the palace. But Banasura knew various arts of fighting, and by the grace of his lord Shiva, he knew how to arrest his opposing enemy by the use of a snake noose called Nagapasa. And so, Aniruddha was seized as he came out of the palace. When Usha received the news that her father had arrested Aniruddha, she became overwhelmed with grief and confusion. Tears began to glide down her cheeks, and being unable to check herself, she began to cry very loudly. Months of the rainy season passed, and still Aniruddha had not returned home. All the members of the Yadu dynasty became much perturbed. They could not understand how the boy was still missing. And then, one day, the great sage Narada came to pay a visit. Narada informed the family about Aniruddha's disappearance from the palace. He explained how Aniruddha had been carried to the city of Sanatapura, the capital of Banasura's empire, and how Banasura had arrested him with the Nagapasa, even though Aniruddha had defeated his soldiers. The news was given in detail, and the whole story was disclosed. Then the members of the Yadu dynasty, Aniruddha's family, all of whom had a great affection for Krishna, the grandfather of Aniruddha, began preparations to attack Sanatapura. Practically all the leaders of the family, including Pradyumna, Satyaki, Gadha, Samba, Sarana, Nanda, Upananda, and Bhadra, combined together and gathered 18 Akshohini military divisions into phalanxes. Then they all went to Sanatapura and surrounded it with thousands of soldiers, elephants, horses, and chariots. Banasura heard that the soldiers of Yadu dynasty were attacking the whole city, tearing down various walls, gates, and nearby gardens. Becoming very angry, he immediately ordered his soldiers, who were of equal caliber, to go and face them. Lord Shiva was so kind to Banasura that he personally came as commander-in-chief of the military force, assisted by his heroic sons, Kartikeya and Ganapati. Seated on his favorite bull, Nandeshvara, Lord Shiva was to lead the fighting against Lord Krishna and Balaram. With Lord Shiva and his valiant sons on one side, and Lord Krishna, the supreme personality of Godhead, and his elder brother Balaramaji on the other, a battle of great ferocity was about to ensue, and everyone who was to witness this fight would see all the hairs on his head and body stand on end. Thus ends part one of the meeting of Usha and Aniruddha. Banasura, who possessed 1,000 arms, had learned that his lovely daughter was having a love affair with Aniruddha, the grandson of Krishna. Banasura, fearing for his good reputation, arrested Aniruddha and held him prisoner. When Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and other members of Aniruddha's family heard this, they led an enormous army to Banasura's kingdom, the city of Sanatapura. The fearsome Lord Shiva and his valiant sons Kartikeya and Ganapati came out to lead the fight with Banasura against Krishna and the Yadu dynasty. The fight was to be one of the most ferocious of all time, and the fighting was so fierce that those who saw the battle were struck with wonder, and all the hairs on their heads and bodies stood on end. First, Lord Shiva was engaged in fighting directly with Krishna. Prajumna was battling Kartikeya, and Lord Balaram fought with Banasura's commander-in-chief, Kubanda, and was assisted by Kupakarna. Samba, the son of Krishna, was fighting the son of Banasura, and Banasura himself battled with Satyaki, commander-in-chief of the Yadu dynasty. In this way, the fighting was waged. News of the fighting spread all over the universe. Demigods such as Lord Brahma from the higher planetary systems, along with great sages and saintly persons, Siddhas, Chiranas, and Gandharvas, all being very curious to see this fight between Lord Shiva, Lord Krishna, and their assistants, were hovering over the battlefield in their silent airplanes. Lord Shiva is called Bhutanatha, because he is assisted by various types of powerful ghosts and denizens of the inferno, like the fearful Bhutas, Pretas, Premathas, Pisakas, and the most powerful ghosts, the Brahma Rakshasas. Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, easily drove all these ghosts away from the battlefield by beating them with his celebrated bow, Sarangandhu. Lord Shiva then began to release all his selected weapons upon the Personality of Godhead. But Lord Sri Krishna, without any difficulty, counteracted all these weapons with his counterweapons. He counteracted the Brahmastra very similar to the atomic bomb by another Brahmastra. Lord Shiva released a particular weapon, bringing about a violent hurricane on the battlefield. Lord Krishna presented exactly the appropriate opposing weapon, a mountain, which checked the hurricane on the spot. Similarly, when Lord Shiva released his weapon of devastating fire, Krishna counteracted it with torrents of rain. At last, when Lord Shiva released his personal weapon, called Pasupata Shastra, Krishna immediately counteracted it by the Narayana Shastra. Lord Shiva was quickly becoming exasperated by this fighting with Lord Krishna. Krishna then took this opportunity to release his yawning weapon. When this weapon is released, the opposing party becomes tired, stops fighting, and begins to yawn. Consequently, Lord Shiva became so fatigued that he refused to fight anymore and began to yawn. Krishna was now able to turn his attention from the attack of Lord Shiva to the efforts of Banasura, and he began to kill his personal soldiers with swords and clubs. Meanwhile, Lord Krishna's son, Prajumna, was fighting fiercely with Kartikeya, the commander-in-chief of the demigods. Kartikeya was wounded, and his body was bleeding profusely. In this condition, he left the battlefield, and without fighting anymore, rode away on the back of his peacock carrier. Similarly, Lord Balaram was smashing Banasura's commander-in-chief, Kubanda, with strokes of his club. Kupakarna was also wounded in this way, and both he and Kubanda fell on the battlefield. Banasura's commander-in-chief was fatally wounded. Then, lacking the guidance of their commander-in-chief, Banasura's soldiers fled and scattered here and there. When Banasura saw that his soldiers had been defeated, his anger only increased. He thought it wise to stop fighting with Satyaki, Krishna's commander-in-chief, and instead directly attack Lord Krishna himself. Now, having the opportunity to use his 1,000 hands, he rushed towards Krishna, simultaneously working 500 bows and 2,000 arrows. Such a foolish person could never measure Krishna's strength. Immediately, without the slightest difficulty, Krishna cut each and every one of Banasura's bows into two pieces. And to prevent him from going further, Krishna made Banasura's chariot horses lay on the ground. Then, Krishna, by his infinite mystic power, caused the chariot to break into pieces. After doing this, Krishna blew his conch shell, Panchajanya. Now there was a demigoddess named Kotara, who was worshipped by Banasura, and their relationship was as mother and son. At the moment Banasura's chariot broke into pieces, Mother Kotara became so upset that Banasura's life was in danger that she immediately appeared on the scene. With naked body and scattered hair, she stood before Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna did not like the sight of this naked woman, and to avoid seeing her, he turned his face. Banasura, getting this chance to escape Krishna's attack, left the battlefield. All the strings of his bows were broken, and there was no chariot or driver, so he had no alternative than to return to his city. He lost everything in the battle. Being greatly harassed by the arrows of Krishna, all the associates of Lord Shiva, the hobgoblins and ghostly Buddhas, Pretas and Kshatriyas, left the battlefield. Lord Shiva then took to his last resort. He released his greatest death weapon, known as Shiva Jvara, which destroys by excessive heat. It is said that at the end of this creation, the sun becomes 12 times more scorching than usual. This 12 times hotter temperature is called Shiva Jvara. When the Shiva Jvara personified was released, he had three heads and three legs. And as he came towards Krishna, it appeared that he was burning everything into ashes. He was so powerful that he made blazing fire appear in all directions, and Krishna observed that he was specifically coming towards him. As there is a Shiva Jvara weapon, there is also a Narayana Jvara weapon. Narayana Jvara is represented by excessive cold. When there is excessive heat, one can somehow or other tolerate it. But when there is excessive cold, everything collapses. This is actually experienced by a person at the time of death. At the time of death, the temperature of the body first of all increases to 107 degrees. And then, the whole body collapses and immediately becomes as cold as ice. So, in order to counteract the scorching heat of the Shiva Jvara, there is no other weapon but Narayana Jvara. When Lord Krishna saw that the Shiva Jvara had been released by Lord Shiva, he released the Narayana Jvara. Lord Sri Krishna is the original Narayana,
and the controller of the Narayanasvara weapon. When the Narayanasvara weapon was released, there was a great fight between the two weapons. When extreme heat is counteracted by extreme cold, it is natural for the hot temperature to gradually reduce. And this is exactly what occurred in the fight between Shivajvara and Narayanasvara. Gradually, Shivajvara's temperature diminished, and Shivajvara began to cry for help from Lord Shiva. But Lord Shiva was unable to help him in the presence of Narayanasvara. Unable to get any help from Lord Shiva, the Shivajvara could understand that he had no means to escape outside of surrendering unto Narayan, Lord Krishna himself. Lord Shiva is the greatest of the demigods, and yet he could not help him. What to speak of lesser demigods? Therefore, Shivajvara ultimately surrendered unto Lord Krishna. He bowed before him and offered the following prayer so that Lord Krishna might be...
My dear Lord, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you because you have unlimited potencies. No one can surpass your potency, and thus you are the Lord of everyone. My dear Lord, I beg to submit that I have been very greatly chastised by the release of your Narayanasvara. It is certainly very cooling, yet at the same time very severely dangerous and unbearable for all of us. My dear Lord, as long as one is forgetful of Krishna consciousness, driven by the spell of material desires, and ignorant of the ultimate shelter at your lotus feet, one who has accepted this material body becomes disturbed by the three miserable conditions of material nature. Because one does not surrender unto you, my Lord, he therefore continues to suffer perpetually.
O three-headed one, I am pleased with your statement. Be assured that there is no more suffering for you from my Narayanasvara weapon. Not only are you now free from fear of the Narayanasvara, but anyone in the future who simply recollects this fight between Shivajvara and Narayanasvara will also be freed from all kinds of fearfulness.
After hearing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Shivajvara offered his respectful obeisances onto his lotus feet and left. In the meantime, Banasura somehow or other recovered from his setbacks, and with rejuvenated energy, he returned to fight. This time, Banasura appeared before Lord Krishna, who was seated on his chariot with many different kinds of weapons in his 1,000 hands. Banasura was very much agitated. He began to splash his different weapons just like torrents of rain upon the body of Lord Krishna. When Lord Krishna saw the weapons of Banasura coming at him like water coming out of a strainer, he took his Sudarshan discus and began to cut off the demon's 1,000 hands, one after another. Just as a gardener trims the twigs of a tree with sharp cutters. When Lord Shiva saw that his devotee Banasura could not be saved, even in his presence, he came to his senses and personally came before Lord Krishna and began to pacify him by offering the following prayers on behalf of
Banasura. My dear Lord, you are the worshipable object of the Vedic hymns. One who does not know you considers the impersonal Brahma Jyoti to be the ultimate supreme absolute truth, without any knowledge that you are existing behind your spiritual effulgence in your eternal abode. My dear Lord, you are therefore called Param Brahma. This word Param Brahma has been used in the Bhagavad Gita to identify you. Saintly persons who have completely cleansed their hearts of all material contamination, can realize your transcendental form, although you are all pervading like the sky, unaffected by any material thing. Only the devotees can realize you and no one else. My Lord, I may inform you that this Banasura is very dear to me. He has rendered very valuable service unto me, and therefore I want to see him always happy. Being pleased with him, I have given him the promise of safety. I pray to you, my Lord, that since you were pleased upon his forefathers, King Prahlad, Bali Maharaj, you will also be pleased with him.
After hearing Lord Shiva's prayer, Lord Krishna addressed him also as Lord and said,
My dear Lord Shiva, I accept your statements, and your desire for Banasura I also accept. I know that this Banasura is the son of Bali Maharaj, and as such I cannot kill him, because that is my promise. Yes, I gave a benediction to King Prahlad that all the demons who would appear in his family would never be killed by me. Therefore, without killing this Banasura, I have simply cut off his arms to deprive him of his false prestige. The large number of soldiers which he was maintaining became a heavy burden on this earth, and I have killed them all in order to minimize that burden. Now he has but four arms, and he will remain immortal without being affected by the material pains and pleasures of the body. I know that he is one of your chief devotees, so you can now rest assured that henceforward he need have no fear from anything.
When Banasura was benedicted by Lord Krishna in this way, he came before the Lord and bowed down before him, touching his head to the earth. He immediately arranged to bring Aniruddha, along with his daughter, Usa, seated on a nice chariot. When they arrived, he presented them before Lord Krishna. After this, Lord Krishna took charge of Aniruddha and Usa, who would become very opulent materially because of the blessings of Lord Shiva. Thus, keeping forward a division of one Akshohini of soldiers, Krishna began to return to Dwarka. The narration of the fight between Lord Shiva and Lord Krishna is not at all inauspicious like ordinary fights. On the contrary, if one remembers the narration of this fight between Lord Krishna and Lord Shiva in the morning, and takes pleasure in the victory of Lord Krishna, he will never experience defeat anywhere in his struggle of life.